And this is a passage of scripture that I really love. And it's a special passage of scripture to me, because the very first message I ever preached from a pulpit back in 1976, I preached from this passage of scripture. I still have the notes from that message somewhere in my files, and it's a very special passage of scripture. And so after all these years, we're going to give it another whirl this morning, so we'll see how this goes. So let's read Mark chapter 1. We're going to be beginning in verse 40 and reading through verse 45. It says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And he went out, but he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without," or was outside, "in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God, and for another opportunity to look into it this morning. I pray that through the working of your Holy Spirit, you'll guide us and direct us into the truth and help us to understand. I pray that you'd help us to take what we learn, use it in our lives in a very practical way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we go through life, we're often asked to do interesting things. For example, if you ever fly anywhere, you may have discovered that some pilots have a real sense of humor about things they ask us to do. Let me give you two examples. There was a Southwest airline pilot who said this. He said, "Folks, we've reached our cruising altitude now, so I'm going to switch the seatbelt sign off. Feel free to move about as you wish, but please stay in the plane until we land. It's a bit cold outside, and if you walk on the wings, it affects the flight pattern." So, and then this one was from a Delta Airlines pilot who said, "In the event of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will descend from the ceiling. Stop screaming, grab the mask, and pull it over your face. If you have a small child traveling with you, secure your mask before assisting with his. If you are traveling with two small children, decide now which one you love more." That's not good. That's not good. But it is a reminder that sometimes we are asked to do interesting things. And that is true throughout our entire lives, right? We, from the time we're born, we're asked to do certain things by our parents, and then that continues all throughout our life with the people that we come into contact with on a daily basis. And that's the case in our text. A leper came to the Lord and asked him to do something for him. And this morning, I want us to look at the life of this man. And as we do, there are three things that I want to share with you. First of all, I want you to consider his asking. Now, notice again what it said there in verse 40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." So the story of this man simply begins with, "And there came a leper to him." Now, in the Bible, the word leprosy is kind of a broad term that includes a wide range of skin diseases. But the very worst type of leprosy, which is the one we usually think of when we consider leprosy, is a condition called Hansen's disease. Now, we don't know how severe the problem of this particular leper was, but let's assume that he had this worst kind of leprosy, this Hansen's disease. It begins with little specks on the eyelids and on the palms of the hands. And then it spreads over the body. It bleaches the hair white, and it covers the skin with scales and sores. But that's just what happens on the surface. Down under the skin, leprosy eats its way through the nerves, and soon the victim loses all sense of touch and pain. Initially in the fingers and toes, and then, of course, spreading up the arms and the legs. So a leper can eventually say, I don't feel a thing. Now, losing all sense of touch and pain may sound like a good thing at times. You know, if you've ever stubbed your toe on the bedpost in the middle of the night, that might be a good time to not feel pain, right? Or if you've ever had something hot spilled on you, you know, that'd be good not to be able to feel pain then. Or if you've ever slammed your finger in a door or smashed your finger with a hammer, that would, you know, be a good time to not have to feel any pain. But think about it, without the sense of touch, a person with leprosy eventually damages his toes and his fingers and his feet. He'll bump into objects, cut himself, and get infections and not feel a thing. And that infection continues to cause body parts to decay and scales and sores spread everywhere. It is an awful picture to even think about in our mind. And as leprosy advances, a leper doesn't even look human. No fingers, no toes, many go blind, growths all over their faces. Nobody wants to get near them. Nobody wants to touch them. And generally, from what I'm told, you can actually smell a leper coming before you see them. A leper becomes utterly repulsive both to himself and to others. And this leper came to the Lord, and he asked the Lord to do something for him. Now remember, he had to live with being branded with this disease every day. He lived a horrible life. In the book of Leviticus, there are guidelines, there are laws concerning lepers. For instance, in Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46, it says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip," that is to cover his mouth so he's not breathing on anybody, "and shall say, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone without the camp," or outside the camp shall his habitation be. But the leper in our text came asking the Lord to heal him from this horrible disease. He comes to him and it says he beseeches him and kneels before him and says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And notice, he didn't just come asking. It says he came beseeching, that is, he came begging. And begging implies his desperation. When people are desperate, they do desperate things. And because some people are desperate, there are people who will take advantage of their desperation. This is why some television preachers have become filthy rich. They know that when people are desperate, when the doctor tells them they have a terminal disease, in desperation, they will call up these TV ministries, often as a last resort, and they're told that if they will sow a financial seed into the ministry, that God will answer their prayers. For example, there's a TV preacher named Mike Murdoch who told his viewing audience recently that if they would send a certain amount of money, I believe it was $1,000, he could guarantee them good health for 1 year. You wonder, who would fall for that? That deception, that trickery, who would fall for that? You know who would? A person who is ignorant of the Word of God and a person who is desperate, a person who is desperate for healing. Well, this leper was desperate, but notice that the Lord did not come to him. The Bible says he came to the Lord, which in itself was an amazing thing. What this leper did was forbidden by the Mosaic law. Leprosy was and is a very contagious disease. And according to the teachings of the Old Testament, he was to keep his distance from everyone and warn people that he was coming down the street by yelling out, "Unclean! Unclean!" That way, as he walked down the street yelling "unclean, unclean," it gave people a chance to get away from him because what he had was very contagious and deadly. Now today, if the law required people that had contagious disease to do that, the ACLU would be in courts, of course, filing discrimination lawsuits. But during this time, they were required to warn people that they had a contagious disease. And so the Bible says that as he approached the Lord, he asked Jesus to heal him. Now, in case you're not familiar with it, leprosy in your Bible is a picture of a disease that we all have. It's a picture of a disease called sin. And just as Jesus was glad when the leper came to him for healing, he is glad when we come to him for forgiveness of our sins. The Lord Jesus loves to have us come to him. That's why he said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In 1 Peter 5:7, you read that you should be casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He loves to have us come to him, and not just for forgiveness, but for all of our needs. He bids us to come to him with all of our cares, just like the leper in the story that we just read. And so the first thing we see here is his asking. Now the second thing I want to point out to you this morning is his faith. This leper came to the Lord asking him to do what no man could do. He said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now, what did he mean that Christ could make him clean? Well, of course, he was not talking about physical dirt that you might pick up along the way. If that had been the case, he could have cleaned himself of that. No, he was talking about that incurable disease that caused the flesh to literally fall off his body. He was asking the Lord to cleanse him of that awful disease. And notice he said, "Thou canst make me clean." There was no maybe there. There was no perhaps. He believed this was something Jesus could do. He knew it and he believed it. And listen, if you don't believe that the Lord can do what you ask him to do, then don't bother to ask him. Because in Hebrews 11:6, the word of God says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And over in James 1:5-6, when it talks about talking to the Lord, it says, "Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavereth, for nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is as a wave of the sea tossed with the wind." He said, for "let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." This leper had faith. He said, "Thou canst make me clean." Not that you might make me clean. He said, "You can do it." He had faith. He was saying the best doctors in the land cannot do this, but Lord, you can fix this problem for me. He's saying, I am totally rejected by society because of this contagious disease, but Lord, you can fix this problem for me. He's saying, I am shunned as I walk down the street, but Lord, you can fix this problem for me. He's saying, little children run from me when they see me coming down the street, but Lord, you can fix this problem for me. He's saying, I cannot live a normal life like a decent person, but Lord, you can fix this problem for me. And isn't it wonderful that we serve a Savior that can do the impossible? He can do the impossible. No matter what your need, He can fix it. There is no problem that we have that He can't handle. And Jeremiah 32, 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Again, this is why he said in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I don't know what the needs are of every person in this congregation, but I can tell you this, whatever your need is, we serve a God that can supply it. We serve a God that can fix it. In Luke 1, 37, we read, With God, nothing shall be impossible. The leper believed that. The question is, how about you? How about you? Do you believe that there is nothing impossible with our God? And so we see his asking, we see his faith, and then third, let me point out to you his humility. Look again there at verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, notice, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know, the way we approach one another is important. If somebody comes up to us and gets right up in our face, and they demand that we do something, we're not going to do it. Our old stubborn human nature is not going to let us do it. But if that same person were to come up to us with politeness and courtesy and sincerely ask for our help, I would imagine we would all help them. We would all help them. See, the way we approach people when we want them to do something for us makes a difference. And along these same lines, the way we approach God makes a difference also. Because God doesn't owe us anything. And we should all be thankful that God is a merciful God, because everything we have is because he is a merciful God. And he's already given us so much more than we ever deserved. And we should fall on our knees and thank him for blessing us with what we have. Notice this leper humbled himself before the mighty hand of God, in a hope that the Lord God would have mercy on him. He didn't come just demanding, he came in humility. You know, I think one of the most abused scriptures in all the Bible is that scripture that says that we're to come before the Lord boldly. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, I've heard some preachers make it sound like in the time of need, we're to march into the throne room of God and put our hands on our hips and demand God do this or do that. Is that the way you approach someone who can squash you like a bug? No, that's not what that's talking about at all in that scripture. The word boldly there is paresia, a Greek word that means to come with assurance, to come with confidence, to come freely and openly. We are to approach God's throne with confidence, knowing that he can do what no one else can do. We're to come before God with assurance that he is a God of grace and mercy, and he will help us in our time of need. We recognize that we do not deserve to be able to come to him, and we recognize that he is a gracious and merciful God who can and will answer our prayers and meet our needs. Our Lord was touched with the grief of this man's need. And the Lord touched him. And it's a great example of the love that the Son of God has for us. Just look at his response. He says, "I will be thou clean." I will be thou clean. He didn't just say, "Be clean," because then all those present would have been cleansed of their illnesses. He said, "Be thou clean." Just like at Lazarus' tomb, had he just said, "Come forth," then all the dead in the graveyard would have come forth. So the Lord said, "Lazarus, come forth." Christ addressed the leper personally by saying, "Be thou clean." And the Lord did not just tell this man to, you know, go home, take two aspirins, and see me in the morning. And he did not say unto him, "As soon as your credit card donation clears," that's another thing I've heard those faith healers say. No. As soon as he touched that leper, his leprosy was removed and he was cleansed. Just like the very moment you call out to Christ and receive him as your Savior, you are cleansed from your sin and you are given everlasting life. It happens immediately. Immediately. This leper, he didn't feel a thing when he had his leprosy. But boy, once the Lord touched him, he knew that he had been touched. Now, how do we know that? It's because the Lord instructed him not to tell anyone of his healing, because it would cause Jesus to be hindered in going in and out in public and ministering. But when the Lord healed him, he felt something. And you know what happened to this guy? He got a case of the can't help it. That's what he got. He just couldn't hold it in. It had to come out. And he went out and he told everyone what the Lord had done for him. You see, the thing is, when God has truly done a wonderful work in our life, we just have to share the news, that good news, with someone. If you have received Christ as your Savior and he has touched your life and he has changed your direction and he has cleansed you from your sin and he has given you eternal life and he's filled your heart with peace and joy and love and he has made you a child of God and he has given you the assurance of heaven, I don't know how you can hold it in. So don't. Don't. Remember, Jesus did not tell us to be quiet about it. He didn't tell us not to share it. He told us, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go and tell the story of the Christ of Calvary. Go and tell the story how he gave his life so free. He forgave your sin and he saved your soul. He cleansed your heart and he made you whole. So go and tell the story of the Christ of Calvary. Go! Go tell that story. Remember, our new theme for 2018, if you were here last week, our new theme is, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I got my banners being made right now. We're going to put a banner right there on the balcony so that when we turn around to leave, we're reminded that when we get out of here, we're the redeemed of the Lord. We're to tell people about that. But that's not the only one I'm putting up. I'm putting one over the front door just in case you miss this one on the way out. Just to remind us of our theme, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's get out of here and share our faith with others. Because what we got is not just good news. It is the best news ever. And everybody needs to hear about Jesus. And let me say this, if you don't know Jesus this morning in your heart, then please don't leave here without coming to know him. He wants to cleanse you of your sin. He wants to give you everlasting life. He wants to give you peace with God, make you a child of God, give you an entrance into heaven. And he can give you those things because he paid for them. Through the shedding of his blood and his death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection back to life 3 days later, he paid the full price. And he offers you those things this morning as an absolutely free gift. So why not this morning call out to Christ and receive him as your Savior and Lord? I'll tell you right now, that's your greatest need. You need Jesus more than you need anything this world has to offer. You need Jesus. If you have questions about this, well, I'm going to be around for a while, right? There's refreshments downstairs, so you know the pastor will be around for a while. I'll be here. Pull me aside. Say, Pastor, let's talk. And I would count it a great privilege and a great honor to take you to this blessed old book and show you personally how you can know that Jesus is your Savior. How you can know that your sins are forgiven. How you can know you're on your way to heaven. God wants you to know that. We want you to know that. If I can help you with that, then you speak to me this morning. But you know what? You don't have to wait and speak to me about it because I can't save you. You can call out to Jesus right where you are. Right now, you can call out to him and invite him into your heart and life to be your Savior and Lord. And I guarantee if you'll call out to him, he's not going to turn your way, because he does not turn people away who come to him in faith. So don't leave here without being sure that you know Christ as your Savior. And then again, I remind you, for those of you who do know Christ as your Savior, take to heart our new theme. Let's do our best to get the gospel message beyond the four walls of this building, and let's get it out into the community. Let's make sure we're telling our friends, our families, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates. Let's make sure they have at least heard the message of the gospel. Let's be faithful to the calling to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for this opportunity to look into it this morning and the challenge to our hearts. Thank you for this wonderful testimony of your life-changing power as seen in this story of the healing of this leper. And we thank you, Lord, that you're still showing forth life-saving power to this very day. And so, Father, I pray that you'd make it so that nobody would leave this place today without being absolutely sure that they know Christ in their heart. And then, Lord, help us not to just keep the message here and hoard it for ourselves. Help us all, as your children, to be faithful in telling others. Because all around us are people who are in desperate need of the gospel. And so help us to be faithful to share the good news with them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.